Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. The Winnipeg Jets squandered two separate two-goal leads. They give up four unanswered goals after they were leading by a score of 3-1. They drop their sixth game in a row, losing tonight to the Montreal Canadiens by a 5-3 margin. Dave, good to see you. It's nice to see you because the last 2.5 hours of watching that hockey game was not nice. That was absolute trash. And I probably would say that if it was a Jets win. It was a bad hockey game by both teams, made all the worse for a struggling Winnipeg Jets team by somehow losing four games in a row, giving up four goals in a row.
I mean, at this point, they'd be wishing to only be losing four games in a row.
That's true. Four games in a row losing would be a positive for this team right now.
I mean, it's you know, you blow those types of leads when you're that desperate, when Montreal has as many injuries as they do.
Mm-hmm. And more injuries than the Jets.
Oh yeah, there's, like I said at one point, the Jets are missing Nikola Ehlers. Someone said Adam Lowry. I go, yep. But the Montreal Canadiens are also missing a laundry list of players, as is to be expected at this point in the season. So the injury bug is biting both teams right now, and you can't point to that and say, well, that's the reason this team lost the game, because again, we've been talking about it throughout the course of this losing streak. You know, and for some reason, we talk about the definition of insanity, and that's what trying the same thing over and over and over again. And Paul Maurice was asked today during his morning availability, what's the status of the lineup? I mean, they called up four players from the Moose before the road trip began. They already obviously had CJ Cease. They sent Mikael Burden and Luke Greeney, who's not even really with either team because he's not playing right now, back to the Moose. And you didn't introduce any of those guys into the lineup. And don't get me wrong, some of those goals against the Jets were fluky. I mean, in the sense that they, you know, Montreal had fortuitous bounces, but Montreal also carried the majority of the play. And it looked like it was a, you know, I thought it, to be honest with you, in the third period with about 10 minutes to go, maybe 15 minutes, it looked like, you know, teams desperate to get to that overtime to not necessarily lose a point, especially for Montreal. The Jets are in a bit more of a, you know, fortunate position based on their early season success, whereas Montreal could feel Calgary, a team that, you know, we earlier said had no chance of catching Montreal. Well, they've made it a bit more of a close race in for that fourth and final spot in the North. So again, you know, both teams desperate, both teams not playing particularly well. I think both teams were 4-6-0 in their last 10 games, and Montreal was just a cleaner team.
Everything about that game, I mean, from the start of the game, yes, the Jets had the 1-0 lead, and they, you know, that Paul Stastny, it was a nice knockdown of the pass and a great goal. It's not like the Jets played especially well in that first period to have the 1-0 lead. I thought Montreal controlled the course of the game. Montreal controlled the course of the vast majority of this game. And despite that, the Jets still at different times had two goal leads, and then they absolutely could not do anything about it. They could not shut anything down. They could not complete a pass from one player to another if their life depended on it. And I don't want to hear the puck and the bouncing and the ice and blah, blah, blah. Both teams played on the same ice surface. The Winnipeg Jets, you know, I don't know if this is the worst defeat that they had in of the six, but I think it maybe stings the most because they had this game in hand. They had this game relatively in control on the scoreboard. And with all the players out of the Montreal Canadiens lineup, and with the Jets having the better goaltender, there is, in my books, no excuse to get caved in how significantly they did during tonight's contest.
Yeah, I mean, again, they needed Connor Hellebuyck to make a bunch of saves for them to keep it, you know, where it was for the most part early in the game. They took advantage of their opportunities, to your point, Drew. And at the same time, again, like I said, it's Montreal was running around them, right? For the most part, it didn't look like the Jets were in control of that hockey game, I think is what we're saying here. And that's a problem. And again, what kind of I wasn't really anticipating much different because you've been doing this with this lineup for how long? And you could say, oh, well, you know, Toronto's a really good team and Edmonton's a really good team. I mean, obviously they have flaws, but what you thought, because Montreal wasn't going to be a very good team, that somehow this lineup was going to, well, okay. I guess what we're saying for sure. And regardless of what happens with Adam Lowry, who skated today in a regular uniform, and you know, they're going to have a full practice. They're off tomorrow. They'll have a full practice on Monday. So Adam Lowry in theory could be back against the Ottawa Senators on Monday.
Yeah.
But let's go over and above Adam Lowry. Are you going to tell me you would just, that's your only change? Jansen Harkins, the guy who I think works his ass off every single game and certainly doesn't deserve to come out of this lineup. You're going to pull Jansen Harkins out, put, you know, Mason Appleton down, move everything, Matty Perreault back to the fourth, and Adam Lowry, you know, up the middle of that third. That's going to be your only change. And you probably end up beating Ottawa. But again,
right now they wouldn't. Right now, my money's on Ottawa.
I shouldn't say that because Ottawa's been playing well, right? Ottawa played, you know, has been playing all right. So they've
Ottawa at least gives you an honest effort.
Yeah.
You know, Ottawa gives you an honest effort night in and night out. I don't know what this Winnipeg Jets team is doing. I don't know what their effort is because there just seems to be no continuity from one player to another. There seems to be no connectivity from one player to another. They're certainly not playing like a team. They appear to be, you know, when they're on the ice, there appear to be five individuals playing their own game. And that's, I think, part of the problem here is that they just, for whatever reason, have completely fallen apart. I mean, it's hard to believe that a team can fall apart coming off of that successful road trip that the Jets had, that they can fall apart to them in the manner that they've done so over the last six games. They have not played one good period where I would say they were better than their opposition in the last six games. Yep. That's pretty damn hard to do. I mean, that, you know, that's pretty hard to do. Mm-hmm. Even tonight, when they were up 1-0 after the first period, you know, they didn't play better than the Montreal Canadiens in the first period. After the second period, where at different times you had both a 2-0 lead and a 3-1 lead, well, what was the final? What was the score after 40 minutes? It was 3-3. Mm-hmm. You gave it right back.
Right.
I'm looking at a tweet here right now from our buddy Mike McIntyre. It said, back on April 15th, I'm paraphrasing, back on April 15th, the Winnipeg Jets had an impressive 5-2 win in Toronto. Ville Heinola played that night. He was taken out of the lineup immediately after. Jets head coach Paul Maurice said there would be a D rotation. Heinola hasn't played since. Six straight regulation losses have followed for the Winnipeg Jets. They've been outscored 26-9. The definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And Heinola's not playing so that Jordy Benn can play, so that Derek Forbort can continue to struggle immensely, so that Tucker Poolman can continue to play and have negative to no impact whatsoever. I mean, this is a five-alarm organizational fire right now, this Winnipeg Jets team. There's no positives you can point to.
Well, and the irony
of Lewis getting two goals, so that's great for
Trevor
Lewis. First
time since 2014.
Trevor Lewis puts in a yeoman's effort night in and night out. I'm not going to criticize Trevor Lewis. Nate Thompson, same thing. These are fourth line guys who know the role. They're veterans. They are fine players. No problem with them at all. Every single other player, starting with the absolute leadership of this Winnipeg Jets team, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, the guys being paid the most amount of money, Josh Morrissey, every single one of them needs to look in the mirror and dig deep and find out why this is happening. Because six games in a row of this, six games in a row when you're being outplayed, is absolutely inexcusable.
Yeah, and I'll say the other thing about Adam Lowry's absence is you can see that PK right now, right? How much has that failed you? The game against Edmonton, you give up two goals. That's the difference in the game, really. Obviously, the empty net goal isn't a factor if you don't give up those power play goals. Tonight, you gave up another two power play goals. And what, obviously, the game-winning goal ends up being the power play goal for Nick Suzuki. So, I mean, that's the stuff that's gonna kill you, that special teams. And their power play looks not very good either. I mean, the power play is slow. And it's funny, right? You watch during the first intermission, they're showing the Nashville Jets series and you're seeing how crispy and how quickly they fire that puck around. And there's not, it's just slow. It's just slow. If I had to use one adjective right now, maybe predictable, slow, but it's just, it's not, there's nothing to it. And if you pass that slowly, first of all, they're pressuring the wingers anyway. So it's not like guys are getting chances to get their shots off. And they know where they're going. So everybody can get in the lane and they're blocking it. It's predictable. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, so the power play isn't good right now. Mm-hmm. And the penalty kill's killing you. I mean, again, that's two goals. Well, what was the difference in the game? Obviously with the empty netter goal. But again, so that's another instance where special teams play, which becomes so much more critical in the playoffs, that, you know, if you're not having success, it's not a good sign, obviously, for your hockey club. And there's a lot of instances in this right now with the way the Winnipeg Jets are going that we can say this doesn't bode well for your hockey club. But again, like I said, to me, the special teams, especially, you can get such a boost from a power play goal, and you can be so deflated by a penalty kill goal or a power play goal against. And we're seeing that in the last two games.
Well, look, it's been well documented for the past number of years that the Jets' success is despite what their 5-on-5 analytics would say. And that success largely comes based on having a top five power play and having exquisite goaltending. Mm-hmm. Well, what hasn't happened as of late is the exquisite goaltending has not been there. Connor Hellebuck, I mean, you know, you don't like that third goal, the tying goal. That's the one that I think that
the Armia one.
Yeah. The Armia one. That would be the one.
That's just an unfortunate, I mean, it falls down. I mean, it lands on Armia's stick a little bit. Right.
Right. So. But it still squeezes through him in such a manner that he probably wants that one back. I mean, he wasn't great. He didn't, you know, sometimes, you know, you need a goalie to steal a game for you, especially when you're struggling. And when you're up 3-1 and you're up 2-0, maybe you need a goalie to make a save that is, you know, above and beyond what you would say is the typical save. Connor Hellebuck hasn't been able to do that. I mean, I frankly think Connor Hellebuck is probably a little tired. Let's just keep throwing out the same lineup. Let's just keep playing the same guys. Nothing ever changes. We're just going to maybe shuffle one guy from the second line to the first line, and, well, that's enough. I've done my job here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's borderline crazy what's happening right now. And that dressing room and that coach's office, they seem to be bereft of any ideas how to get out of it. If you didn't win tonight, you go into Montreal. Let's go through the guys that Montreal doesn't have in their lineup. Late scratch, Shea Weber. Shea Weber's a pretty good hockey player. I'm not sure if everyone's aware of that. Pretty good hockey player. I think people have heard his name once or twice.
Yep.
Jonathan Drouin, skilled, talented player out of their lineup. Brendan Gallagher, skilled, talented player, heart and soul of the team out of their lineup. Might be more guys. I'm not going to look it up right now. Probably more guys. But to get outworked, it's getting outworked. That's the most damning comment of them all. You know, the Montreal Canadiens had the Jets on their heels. And I know that the Habs are a team that shoot from everywhere. And I know that the Habs are a team that, you know, make it difficult on their opponent. But when's the last time the Jets made it difficult on their opponent? The Jets have to be one of the easiest, softest teams to play against, certainly in the last six games. But the Jets do nothing to make it more difficult on their opponent. Playing against the Jets is a cakewalk, especially without Adam Lowry in the lineup. There's nobody hitting anybody. Not that physicality is the only answer, but everybody on that Jets roster looked tired. They look tired. And if the coach can't realize that, and the coach can't use, like we've been talking about for the entire season, the taxi squad to spell some guys or to give some guys a break or to juice your lineup with some new bodies, well, what the hell's the coach doing?
Well, I mean, Bedrew, we've been talking about that for how long? I mean, that was the whole year. I mean, again, you have a condensed schedule and you have a taxi squad.
Yeah.
So why are you not using them? I mean, again, the whole point is you're like, I mean, again, I understood the rationale was, well, we need to have this team somewhat at a point where, you know, they're a cohesive group firing on all cylinders. But here's the reality, folks. Nikolaj Ehlers is out for the regular season. Yeah. Adam Lowry is out for, he's missed what now, three games? I think going, somewhere.
Something like that. Or maybe more than that.
It was the Toronto game and he missed the... Anyways,
yeah, then it would be three or four games right now.
So the point is, you're never going to be able to have, like, because remember, what did Paul Maurice say before? He said, going into that, not the game against Edmonton, the 3-0 loss to start that homestand, it was the first game against Toronto.
Yeah.
That was what he was wanting. He was wanting his lineup, his forwards, not his defense, to kind of be that group that he was going to roll with. Well, you lose Nikolaj Ehlers and you lose Adam Lowry. So, I mean, he knows. I mean, he's an experienced NHL coach. So he's not going to be like, well, I was expecting that they'd all be healthy until the end of the season. We'd all have this one cohesive group. What's the point I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make is get these guys in there. I mean, again, you've got guys who are hungry. I mean, they sent David Gustafson back. Okay, David Gustafson had a pretty good game for the Manitoba Moose. Looked really good. You know, finished with the OT winner to end their 17-game homestand on Thursday afternoon. Thursday afternoon. And I mean, he's a guy who's going to give you effort. Jansen Harkins is the guy who's going to give you effort. Again, like a lot of these guys are going to give you that effort. Ville Heinola, we've already said what he's going to be able to do for this defense. I mean, again, why he's not in, I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, and the worst part for him is he's now going to have to make that change. I mean, there's no way, again, irregardless of what happens with Adam Lowry, you're going to have to put in Ville Heinola, and then it's going to look a little silly because whether you handily defeat Ottawa, depending on what happens, obviously, but you know, Ville Heinola is probably going to have a pretty damn good game because he looked good when he was playing for the Moose. So
I'm not as convinced that they're going to put him in. Well, I'm not. I mean, what makes you think that he's not going to go with Stanley over Ben, or that he's going to go that he's going to choose Heinola over Stanley at this point in time? He hasn't used, he's used Heinola what, twice all season?
Well, and the other thing I was going to say that, you know, to me, one thing, and we've talked about this idea of sorry, I'm getting a little off topic with Heinola and Stanley, but just to want to get back to this for a second. It's the idea of taking a guy who plays a certain way and putting him into a role that's he's not necessarily suited for. And to me, and I know they've changed things up. So the third line with Perreault, Vesalainen, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is not necessarily a quote checking line, but Christian Vesalainen is a goal scorer. You know, he's got a shot. He can skate. He's a little more aggressive than he used to be in terms of like digging for pucks. I'm just saying, like, to me, I think he's better suited for a goal scorer's role especially with his shot. Again, like that's just what we came to see with him with the Manitoba Moose and haven't really seen here with the Winnipeg Jets, of course. But again, I think it's kind of like that idea of like, why not give him that opportunity? Because I don't know. It just doesn't seem like that. The lines just seem off. They just don't seem to have that chemistry. Like Andrew Copp, Mason Appleton, Mark Scheifele. I don't know about you, Drew, but it doesn't, you know, like, is it the Shania Twain song? Don't impress me much.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It just doesn't. It really, it just leaves you.
They're 30% Corsi 4 at 5-on-5 today. Didn't impress you, Dave?
But I have to tell you, like the eye test alone, I mean, I knew that like, the analytics were what they are. But the point is, it's just, you watch that and you're thinking to yourself, like, this isn't. And again, I'm impressed with what Mason Appleton has done because he's a hard worker, but I don't think that he's necessarily a first line winger. And I don't know that he brings you that, you know, ideally. So to me, that line, again, it's not going. And so you got to change it up and you can't be afraid to do whatever you need to do to mix it up, I think. And so if it means throwing, you know, Christian Vesalainen on there to see if you can get Mark Scheifele going, or if you can get somebody going, then do it. But to me, again, like I said, I just watched that line and I'm thinking to myself, like, someone just said, can we promote Pascal Vincent? I don't know that we have that sort of power here, people. But you know what? I just don't know that it just doesn't seem to be working. And I feel a little bit like a broken record because how many times have we been saying that over the course of this long losing streak for the Winnipeg Jets that they just don't seem to have it going. And, you know, just to go back to the Moose and mention, talk about that from the to answer that question, you know, one thing Pascal Vincent has talked about is just how, and I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, Drew, it's the idea that you got to be playing like a five-man unit. And to me, it's evident. Like, these guys, again, think about just think about the psychology. Okay. The guys in the NHL, first of all, they get paid, you know, 10 times, you know, 20 times, 30 times as much money as the guys in the NHL. The guys in the NHL have the ability to play for the Stanley Cup. The guys in the AHL are not playing for anything. And so if you think about it, these guys have nothing to play for. Nothing. I mean, obviously they want to play for next year, but the point is, you always have that fight. And Pascal Vincent talked about it yesterday, about the idea of, like, well, you know, we're professionals, so we're going to, you know, do this. But of course, it's disappointing. We want to play for something. These guys aren't playing for anything. And you should go watch these guys. They block shots. Like, they could break bones, but they're still doing it because they have that heart. And that, I think, is what seems to be lacking. I'm not saying that they're not trying, but right. It just doesn't seem like that heart is there. And again, like I said, I've watched every single Moose game. I haven't been live at all of them, but most of them. And you're seeing the heart. That's what I almost want to take. You got to take and bring these Jets players, you know, watch a Moose game, watch guys who are literally playing for $30,000, you know, the amount of money you make in a game. And they're showing three times as much heart or 10 times as much heart as you are. And it's pathetic. So that's the part that is, like, infuriating, I think, for a lot of people who are watching these games as fans, because sure. you have instances of people within the framework of your organization who are killing themselves. And then again, a lot of these guys are prospects and they want to, you know, do well, but there's a lot of guys who are just career AHLers who are, you know, giving it their all. And like I said, you see it, you see that commitment to each other that we just don't see right now with this Winnipeg Jets team. And they can talk is cheap, you know, oh yeah, we're doing this and we expect this and we're like, da, 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 da. Well, you know what, again, like I said, this is a results-based business. And you, look, at the end of the day, the Jets had more success than most people gave them credit for. You think about it, right? Because most prognosticators, other than myself, predicted the Jets would be a fifth place team or just maybe in the fourth place spot,
fighting tooth and nail to make the playoffs.
So they've had more success than they anticipated, you know, than they were anticipated to. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, we knew that this team was flawed and it wasn't perfect. So I'm just saying, like, to me, you just need to, like I said, maybe show them game tape. Watch one of these Moose games on tape, because, you know, I can lend you my AHL TV password. Because again, I just think, like, it's a lack from what we're seeing with the collective group. And again, it starts with the leadership group and then it filters down from there.
Friday night, nice to see so many people, new faces, old faces joining us in the chat room. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk with you. If you're new here, if you haven't yet hit the thumbs up, be sure to do that. Smash the like button, hit the thumbs up, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That way you get alerted each and every time we go live, which we do after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And of course, tomorrow morning as well, 9:00, the Illegal Curve hockey show, where we will look back at the entire week that was for the Winnipeg Jets, sort of take a macro view as opposed to the micro view that we take after each and every game. But it is so nice to see so many of you here with us on this Friday night. Another disaster for the Winnipeg Jets. They dropped their sixth game in a row. They were up 3-1. They were up 2-0. They give up four goals in a row to lose tonight 5-3 to the Montreal Canadiens. The Jets next in action on Monday as they face the Ottawa Senators. For those asking, Mr. Ginsburg is off tonight. His contract demands are just too much for us to be able to afford him both on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. You'll have to tune in on Saturday morning, though, tomorrow morning, to see if he's clean shaven or not, because frankly, I have no idea. But it sounds like very soon, win or lose for the Winnipeg Jets, you're going to see a clean-shaven Mr. Ginsburg.
I'm just concerned, Drew. I'm just concerned about why Brad doesn't want to agree with me. Most people don't want to agree with you.
Yeah.
But I'm a very agreeable fellow, so I'm not so sure why he hates to give me props. But anyways, I'll take it. Regardless of whether you hate to do it or not. But thank
you. It's true. I mean, Dave is very agreeable. I'm quite distasteful in basically all walks of my life. Exactly. If it wasn't for my wife, I don't really know anybody that would put up with my nonsense. But that being said, here we are. My dog likes me. It's true. And my kids sometimes like me. It depends depends what's going on at that point in time. You know, we mentioned the analytics of tonight's game, and they're absolutely awful for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, and I mentioned Montreal usually does win the analytics battle, but You look at the high danger chances, 12-7 for the Montreal Canadiens. You look at possession, five on five possession, usually a good barometer about the flow of a game. 65% for the Montreal Canadiens to 35% for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, look, we've gone through the numbers and the names of the people who are out of the Montreal Canadiens roster. Mm-hmm. And it's very similar to what we've talked about for the last number of games. I see no speed at all from the Winnipeg Jets players. They can't get out of their own zone. I mean, there was that play, I believe it was either in the first period or the second period, where Matthew Perreault, you know, it's an easy clear. He's at the defensive blue line. Nothing is going wrong. There's no reason why the puck shouldn't be out of the zone and heading up the ice. And he just basically gives it away at the Jets blue line. It doesn't lead to a goal, but it leads to to Cole Caulfield hitting the post after.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Drew, but I got to give this comment a shout out.
That's funny. That's actually a good funny from the fake Dave Chappelle there.
Yeah,
but
Dave Chappelle's.
Chappelle's, I believe, if that's what Chappelle it is. Yeah. In any event, that is a funny line. Again, funny comments. If you put them in the chat, maybe we'll throw them on the screen. This is a good opportunity for the reminder to remind people, if you're going to be insulting one another in the chat, you're going to get blocked. We are a friendly place here. Yeah. You can criticize. You can talk about the performance of the Winnipeg Jets.
Keep it clean. Come on.
Keep it clean. Personal insults have no place on the Illegal Curve hockey.
You know, at the end of the day, guys, I mean, come on. Everybody is a hockey game. I get that people get excited about it. I get that people are passionate. I don't dismiss that. But at the same time, it's really not difficult to disagree with people. And Drew and I disagree all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I usually say stuff behind his back to Ezzy.
Totally.
But at the end of the day, unless it's inadvertently to his face, as Ezzy once did. But the point is,
That was via text, but nonetheless.
Let's just keep this a little clean here.
Exactly. The only people who are allowed to insult one another are the three hosts of this fine program. And that's the way it's been for over 10 years. And that's not going to change anytime soon. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets had more talent on the ice than the Montreal Canadiens. And when you have more talent on the ice and you can't do anything with that talent, then absolutely it is something that is wrong in the dressing room. You know, Blake Wheeler, Paul Stastny, Kyle Connor, pretty good pretty good hockey players on paper. Mm-hmm. 31% Corsi 4. I mean, everyone's entitled to a night off or a bad night, but six bad nights in a row is not something you can just gloss over. You look at Mason Appleton, Andrew Copp, and Mark Scheifele. Mentioned it before. 30% Corsi 4. Mm-hmm. Lewis Thompson and Harkins, 37.5%. That's only in 7 minutes of ice time, and Trevor Lewis got two goals. So I think, you know, can't really complain about Lewis Thompson and Harkins in tonight's contest.
No.
You know, they did their job. Vesalainen and Dubois Perreault, they were the best, and that's definitely going in quotes, the best of the Jets forward lines, with a possession numbers of 46.67%.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm not going to throw a ticker tape parade for them for being under 50% possession-wise. It something stinks in the Winnipeg Jets dressing room right now, and I don't know what's going to solve the problem, but I can assure you, throwing out the same 12 forwards on Monday in Ottawa and the same six defensemen on Monday in Ottawa certainly isn't going to be the answer, no matter who the goaltender is. If it's Lauren Brossoit and that's the only change you've made, well, again, that's not doing the job. You need at this point in time to figure something out. I believe they're off entirely tomorrow,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Sunday, they have a practice day in Ottawa, if I'm correct.
Right. Yeah.
So that's Sunday practice, and people are going to say, bag skate them. Well, it's not junior hockey. You don't bag skate pros, like you're thinking about. It's just not the way it's done. It's a way to immediately cause a rift between the players and the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Maybe the one already exists. I don't know. No. But whatever it is, doing the same thing over and over again is not going to be the answer. I thought tonight, I'll be honest, before the game, I was texting with my buddy, and he said, when are the Jets going to win again? And I thought it was going to be tonight. I thought there were enough positive signs after the game on Wednesday against Edmonton that the Jets would go into Montreal. They would face a Montreal team that is decimated injury-wise. frankly, not as talented as the Jets. And I thought the Jets, just by virtue of being outside of Winnipeg, would maybe get that pressure relief and play a better game. I was wrong. Mea culpa, folks. The Jets did not play a better game. The Jets looked as discombobulated as they have for the entirety of the last six games. And frankly, I don't know when it's going to end. I mean, you have Ottawa on Monday. You have Calgary on Wednesday. Calgary is still got a little bit of life left. Mm-hmm. The Ottawa Senators, to your point, Dave, about being, you know, the Manitoba Moose being a hardworking team. Well, the Ottawa Senators are a hardworking team. Maybe it's because they're filled with young players who are still just trying to establish themselves for the most part in the NHL. They haven't got fat and happy looking at their at where they are in the standings. They know that they have something to build upon for next year. Not going to be easy on Monday against Ottawa. Calgary on Wednesday. Well, who knows? If Calgary's wins puts strings together a couple wins, well, maybe they're right on the heels of the Montreal Canadiens against, or they see the Jets struggling and think maybe, just maybe, something positive like that could happen. I don't think that the Jets are not going to make the playoffs, but if they even were to make the playoffs right now, given the way they've been performing, they're going to be out very, very quickly. As some of the comments have said, the Jets are going to be out in three, never mind four, when the playoffs begin.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because if you look at Montreal, they're not that far back of Winnipeg now.
No, they're not.
They're 4 points back with the game in hand. So, I mean, it's this game had a little bit more meaning than just, you know, arresting your five-game losing streak, which is now a six-game losing streak. Just to address some of the questions about Cole Perfetti and David Gustafson and some of the other guys on the Moose that people are clamoring for. The reality is, folks, if they haven't been called up and are not on the taxi squad, the chances are they're not going to be playing on this road trip because the team would have to charter them out on a plane and they would have taken them as part of the taxi squad. And so Cole Perfetti, you know, Ray Ferraro, apparently, I didn't hear him, but apparently I saw our friend Murat attest from The Athletic had tweeted out a quote from Ray Ferraro about trying to throw Cole Perfetti into this group, you know, with things the way they are and put that kind of responsibility on the kid. And I agree with that 100%. And I was already, before, you know, Ray Ferraro said that, before anything else.
Yeah, we talked about this on Wednesday's post-game show.
I don't think, like, Cole Perfetti just had a seven-game point streak come to an end in the Moose win. He didn't get pick up a point, even though the team won. But he had I think, 13 points in seven games for the Moose. And he's looked very good, and he's looked very comfortable. And I think he's going to be an excellent hockey player, but I think he's perfectly suited for being where he is. And as I said yesterday or whenever it was, I don't remember last time we did the show, but on Wednesday after that game, I think the truth is if the Moose are now going to head out on the road, they're going to Toronto and Belleville, or Ottawa technically, because it's Belleville's playing out of Ottawa, to finish their season on the road. And they leave, I believe, May 5th or May 6th, and the Jets would be just finishing up their road trip and back home to start their home stand. Yeah. So I think what they would end up doing is if they want Perfetti to stay, they'll recall him then. But you're not seeing Cole Perfetti. You're not seeing David Gustafson. David Gustafson's a guy who, again, to me, he unlike Perfetti, Perfetti's a young man, and he looks like a young man. And when you talk to him, again, he's intelligent. He's a mature young man, but his physically, he's young. Gustafson's an adult. Gustafson's a man. I mean, there's no question about it. He is 20, but he might as well be 30 the way he's built. So he can handle the NHL game, but they left him behind. So you don't really have a ton of options when it comes down to the guys. Dominic Toninato, who actually looked excellent in the AHL, scored three goals in his last two games with the Moose, playing on a line with Cole Perfetti. Fast, you know, has some decent hands. Again, that's the AHL and hadn't played a lot of hockey. He hasn't played an NHL game since he played for I think he played three games for the Panthers in the bubble. So again, that's the options are there, but realistically, you know, you're probably going to see it. You've got a CJC. So you've got, who else do you have on the thing? You've got Villanueva, obviously, and you've got Eric Comrie. So, you know, realistically to give this team a little bit of a shot in the arm, you know, when I thought one of the suggestions earlier, and I actually made this, you know, a few shows ago, Jansen Harkins, I actually think Jansen Harkins would work well with Blake Wheeler. And I know like they had a little bit of chemistry when they played together last year. I actually think Jansen Harkins, very smart player, very capable of getting those guys the puck. I think if you give him that opportunity, he probably could do something with it. So to me, here's a guy who, again, like I said, I like Appleton, but I would drop him down I'd get Jansen Harkins up there. I think he's just a good facilitator. So to me, he's the kind of guy who I would think that you'd be more inclined to try and get, you know, going, get your lineup a little bit of a jam. But again, like I said, we don't ultimately make these decisions.
No, but at this point in time, it needs to be more than just, to your point, as you made earlier, it needs to be more than just Adam Lowry coming back into the lineup and maybe a change on the back end. And I'm not convinced that it would be Heinola over Stanley. I mean,
that's true.
Maurice is, you know, whatever Paul Maurice is, he's stubborn. And if he hasn't gone with Heinola yet this year, I don't know what's going to change his mind at this point in time with, you know, six games to go in the regular season. He sees, and I think I don't understand it for the life of me. Mm-hmm. He sees more in Logan Stanley and Jordy Benn and Tucker Poolman than he does in Ville Heinola. Does that mean Heinola's not going to play on Monday? No, not necessarily. But he's never given him a shot. He's never given him any chance to prove that he belongs, even though the couple of games that Heinola's played, he certainly hasn't looked out of place. And frankly, given the way the Jets defense has been performing as of late, I'm fairly certain I could play right now. I really couldn't. I'm not that good a hockey player. But, you know, the point is that there's nothing the Jets defense has done that should keep you clinging to it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, but let's take a break, Dave. And I want to come back and I want to talk about the leadership. Because I think there's a discussion to be had about the leadership right now on this Winnipeg Jets team.
Okay, well, before we take a break, though, I want people smashing that like button.
There you go. Smash the like button. Remember what the previous Dave Chappelle has said about picturing somebody else's face that you don't really like right now? Smash the like button picturing that person's face, and we will be back momentarily, right after these messages. You're watching, you're listening, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Illegal Curve Postgame Show, live on our YouTube channel. Friday night, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Postgame Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk with you. Nice to see so many of our friends, new friends, old friends, friends we just haven't quite met yet, joining us in the chat room. Reminder, we go live after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. Remember, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You'll get alerted every time we go live, so you can join us here on our YouTube channel. And of course, tomorrow morning, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be live at 9 a.m. for more.
Yeah, 12, hockey. Just 12 more hours. Just 12 more hours.
12 more hours, exactly.
Should we do another 12-hour show?
You know what? I think if this losing streak continues, some people might keep us around for another 12 hours to talk about things. There's a radio show out of Tennessee, University of Tennessee football radio show, and you know, as you might imagine, University of Tennessee football fans are fanatics. Yeah. And the guy often goes live for all night long, especially after bad losses. And it's a very entertaining show to listen to. I've been, you know, schadenfreude every now and then. I've listened to it just because I enjoy watching them struggle, especially when they lose to my University of Kentucky Wildcats. But it's I don't know if we're going to go 12 hours tonight, but maybe come playoff time. We'll see about that, Mr. Minuk.
Okay.
Let's talk about leadership.
Sure. Like mine, yours?
No, our leadership's good. Ezzy's less so, but you know, leadership. Our leadership is solid.
Okay.
You know, this Winnipeg Jets team has now lost six in a row.
Correct.
The leaders of this team. So the captain of this team is Blake Wheeler, and we all know that Blake Wheeler is not playing, you know, commensurate to his salary this year. I don't blame a player for their salary. That's on the general manager. Blake Wheeler has not had a good year at all. I would hope he would be the first to say so. That being said, his leadership should be what provides extra value for this Winnipeg Jets team. And I'm not seeing it from Blake Wheeler. And I'm not seeing it, certainly not seeing it from Mark Scheifele, who has been relatively invisible for the past six games, except for when he's being noticeable for all the wrong reasons. Yeah. Paul Maurice, as the leader of the Jets coaching staff, he's been struggling terribly for the last six games. Lots of people would say he's been struggling for a lot longer than that, but let's say for the last six games. Who is going to pull the Jets out of this? Paul Stastny tried to do his job getting the Jets' first goal of the game tonight, you know, especially after Wednesday night when, you know, he addressed the media and he spoke about the struggles, and a couple of games ago when he talked about the cheat that was in the Winnipeg Jets game. So who is going to pull the Winnipeg Jets out of these doldrums? Which of the players that are getting paid millions upon millions of dollars is going to earn their leadership title and get the Jets out of this? Because right now, the ones who are supposed to be doing it, the Scheiflies, the Wheelers, aren't. And I don't know who's going to be the one to take the bull by the horns and drag them kicking and screaming out of this slump.
Sorry, I got to give Roland credit. That's a pretty funny line. He said Mark Scheifele's addicted to Caesars based on his terrible new commercial.
It's really awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. Anyways, you know what, Drew? Look, it's a fair point. When Mark Scheifele says, I want to be, you know, talked about in the same conversation as Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, by the way, he won't be, then you have an expectation that you're going to be just as good as those players. And if you're not, then you're not, but don't expect to be kept in that same sort of conversation. And again, I don't blame players for signing contracts. I mean, if a GM wants to sign a contract, then as I've said on the record, I think Blake Wheeler's contract is going to end up looking not so good at the end of it. Some would say it's right now, but the point is at the end. But again, like I said, if you end up being able to hoist a Stanley Cup banner, then it ends up being worth it. If it doesn't, then it's an albatross and it's not great. But at the same time, this is about this falls on the coach, because while the players have to play and the coach can only coach, you know, Paul Maurice looks like he's being outcoached a little bit, right? You know, when you're in your own barn and you're getting, you know, Connor McDavid out against, you know, the Nate Thompson line, is that by design or is that by Dave Tippett's, you know, outcoaching you? Is there instances where you're not putting guys into the lineup because you think that you can get this turned around? Because the truth is, to me, Paul Maurice, again, one of his biggest flaws is his deference to veteran leadership. And to me, it's really been an Achilles heel, because he's not allowed young players who are hungry the opportunity. And again, Jordy Benn, first of all, the point about Jordy Benn is he's been better on the right side than he has on the left, even though he's a left shot defenseman, right?
Only but for the entirety of his career. So only for a massive sample size has he proven to be better on the right side. Let's keep playing him on the left side where he struggles more, because that's just good logical thinking there, guys.
Right. Especially considering you've got help on that left side, right? You've got the Logan Stanleys, who you've got the Villahinolas. And again, maybe drop Derek Forbert down to the third pairing and put Villahinola at second pairing with Neil Pionk. Would that be a pretty dynamic pairing?
You know, should maybe be able to skate the puck out of your own zone when you can't complete a pass for the last six games.
Maybe Tucker Pullman is better suited for your third pairing role, right? And maybe move Dylan DeMello. I know folks seem to use him as a new pincushion for whatever reason, but you know, add Dylan DeMello to your first pairing with Josh Morrissey. They seemed to play okay last year. So to me, it's the idea of his unwillingness to change. And, you know, I was reading some of the quotes during the break from some of our buddies in the media who are transcribing, you know, the post game. And he's like, well, we're not going to panic. We have a good team here. And I'm not saying you don't have some good players, but to your point, Drew, when your team is struggling and you get two goals from Trevor Lewis, who can't lose, that to me is a, Drew is cantankerous.
I've been cantankerous my whole life, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not so sure. I don't know that this changes. This game is changing that, but
yeah, that's a default position for me is cantankerous.
I think what it comes down to is you need goals from Mark Scheifele. You need production. And again, I tweeted this and it's true. You know, watching these games, just realize how much you're missing Nikolaj Ehlers. And someone said, oh, well, you know, he was one of the replies was he was there during the losing streak. You know, he didn't go down till the Toronto game, which is true, but it doesn't diminish the fact that I'm not saying that he would rectify all their issues. I'm saying that they miss his, you know, dynamic play and his ability to score goals, because right now, you know, despite the fact that they scored three goals, which for this team has been a lot.
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, I don't know what to say. I feel like we're just talking. It just feels like, I feel like I'm Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day. It's the same game every single night. We're talking about the same lineup and nothing is changing. So I don't know what I'm going to say that I haven't said already before numerous times. I said, you know, change the defense. I said, change the, the pairings, you know, the forward lines, make it look a little different. And it's funny because sometimes you don't want to do a quick change. Sometimes you don't want to say, let's just change for the sake of changing. Mm-hmm. But right now, this just doesn't have it. They just don't. I mean, the numbers are ugly. The eye test tells you it's ugly. The analytics tell you it's ugly. So, and again, I said this before the game. I think in the last show, I think I said that, you know, this, you weren't going to come in here and not play a team. Even, I don't care that Montreal has as many injuries as you've listed off a couple of times throughout the course of this broadcast, Drew. The reality is Montreal was desperate. Montreal needed the 2 points because the point was that they know that Calgary isn't that far behind them. And so if you're sitting there going, well, Calgary's not that far behind us, we better win. We got to win. You know, we're not playing very good hockey and we have to figure out a way to do this. And I, again, I'm not saying that they played with a tremendous amount of desperation. I thought they controlled the play a lot, but you just didn't see that level of desperation this Jets team needed to do it. And again, like I said, it permeates the whole team because it wasn't just in one facet of the game. It was the power play, the penalty kill, the 5-on-5 play. So I don't know. I mean, again, like I said, I'm watching the game like everybody else, and I don't know what to say anymore because right now it just seems like the things we've been advocating, and I guess what it will bear it out in some capacity, I guess, is what happens on Monday. And again, there it seems likely, since Adam Lowry is now back in a regular jersey. Yeah,
it was a contact practice he went through today.
Yeah, and they wanted him. No, it wasn't a practice.
It was a contact skate.
Yeah. So they'll want him to have, Daniel says they have their own analytics. And you know, let me just say that, you know, there is something to be said for the accuracy of the publicly available analytics. But the counterpoint, which I also agree with, is it can't be that far removed. And more importantly, moreover, when the numbers are this stanky, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if they're off by 1, 5, or 10. It's a lot. And it doesn't really make a difference. Let's put it that way.
The public and private if the private analytics show that the Jets had a good game tonight, those analytics are exactly worth $0.
Yeah.
I don't care what lens you're looking through. You can't point to many positives out of the Winnipeg Jets game tonight.
And you know, the one thing I will say to me is that this team has fought back quite a bit throughout the course of the year and been able to get that game time goal. And then, win the game. But you don't feel that right now. You just don't. Like, you're watching this game and you don't think to yourself, Winnipeg is going to bounce back. They're going to get it. And again, I keep looking at this team and thinking to myself, like, Kyle Connor is a player who doesn't look like himself. Mark Scheifele doesn't look like himself.
This is the most I've seen Mark Scheifele struggle in years. He is, you know, He looks like a shell of himself out there in this 6-game losing streak. And I don't know if he's battling an injury. I don't believe that he would be, because, you know, aside from when he got benched, there wasn't really any, he hasn't missed any time or anything. He just has been disappearing for large chunks of the game at a time, which is especially troubling because the team has needed him to step up as the best player on the team. You know, if he wants to be considered a top 5 centerman in the NHL, if he wants to be considered a top 7 centerman in the NHL, the last, you know, 6 games, the last 2 weeks have not done anything for him whatsoever. Kyle Connor also invisible tonight. Did he have a scoring chance? I don't believe he did. I can't think of one where it was Kyle Connor, you know, in the last, you know, half a dozen games.
I did laugh though when Dennis made a comment about Kyle Connor made something about some sort of checking like defensive play, and I said, Kyle Connor, Dennis, are you sure about that? It was actually, but
well, he was playing on the penalty kill this year.
Yeah.
Here's a good, reasonable question from Paul. You know, who is the best Jet on the team during this slump? I mean, I would say, you know, it hasn't translated offensively, but if you're talking about the best players, the players that the Jets should rely on the most, I would say at least Pierre-Luc Dubois has been noticeable often for the defensive side of the game and for the, you know, the things he was doing in the Jets' own zone. He certainly wasn't. He hasn't been doing it in the offensive zone. But then again, you're playing him with, you know, Veselainen and Perreault, but they were the best possession line for the Jets tonight. So in terms of the forwards, maybe Dubois I would go with. I mean, I'm sort of neglecting to consider Lewis, Thompson, and Harkins.
Because they don't get a lot of time, obviously.
They don't get a lot of time, and they're really not in the same breath as the other three lines. And so it's not really fair to compare them. But at least Dubois has been noticeable for chunks, and his effort has been noticeable.
He's been engaged.
He certainly was engaged against McDavid, and he was certainly engaged against Austin Matthews, but it hasn't translated into much because, you know, a one-man team, it does not exist. It's not going to work. And that's the part that is so shocking to me, is how this team has all of a sudden turned into a team of individuals. It was, what, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, where we heard about how close-knit this group is, how great the room is. And I know that oftentimes that's bullshit more than anything. And you and I and the vast majority of people don't truly know what goes on in the dressing room, no matter what, you know, some guy's third cousin's uncle's dog walker might post on a message board. But frankly, there seems to be no, as I said, you know, 53 minutes ago, there seems to be no connectivity whatsoever between the players on this team right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to change that. I don't know that, look, Ville Heinola deserves to be in the Jets lineup, but I don't think that that's going to be the be-all and end-all and the solution to the Jets' problems. It's going to come from Blake Wheeler, despite his struggles this year and his salary. It's going to come from Mark Scheifele deciding, I need to be a top five centerman in this league, and I need to carry my team through these doldrums and get through to the other side. It's going to come from Kyle Connor scoring goals like Kyle Connor is paid to do so. It shouldn't collapse just as badly as it has, because Nikolaj Ehlers is out of their lineup. Nikolaj Ehlers is a great player, but that shouldn't be the only reason.
No, and again, like I said, you know, to me, it's a Nikolaj Ehlers. It's definitely Adam Lowry as well. You can't not acknowledge those guys. Those guys are definitely playing an important role in this team. So to me, again, like I said, but it doesn't matter because you can't if you don't have them, you don't have them. And the Montreal Canadiens don't have a number of players, and they're still doing what they have to do. So again, you don't diminish their losses because again, I've been on the record. I think Nikolaj Ehlers is the best winger on this Jets team. So if you've got Nikolaj Ehlers and Adam Lowry's probably your best defensive center on your team. So they're big pieces of the team. You can't pretend like they're not. Again, like when the Jets got pumped by Calgary in the bubble last year, you know, you didn't think it was Calgary versus Winnipeg, you know, mano a mano. It was Calgary versus Winnipeg without Patrick Laine and Mark Scheifele and Mason Appleton. But obviously, you know, the two that I mentioned to begin are the ones that you really focus on. So to me, that is the key. That's the thing you have to focus on, is you don't have those guys, but you got to figure out what you're going to do that's going to help you get back to feeling good, give you a little swagger back. And again, Drew, I think the key is, to be honest with you, and we'll see what happens. I think they just need to be away from hockey tomorrow and we've said this now a couple of times and for the most part this season, when the Jets have had a bad loss, we've said, well, we'll see what happens the next game. Well, now there's six straight losses. Mm-hmm. You can't really say that, but the effort, again, I don't really care if a team wins. I mean, I know that sounds counterproductive, but I want to see that effort. It goes back to what I was talking about with the Manitoba Moose earlier today. Mm-hmm. If you can see that kind of effort from the team, and they aren't necessarily getting the goals and the results, but you're seeing the effort and you're seeing them play the way they should be playing, then it doesn't matter. But when you're seeing this kind of effort and you're seeing guys just not crisp, and there's no excuse for it, because remember, the big excuse we heard before was the schedule was so crazy. It was so heavy. It was so this, it was so that. Well, it's not as condensed now. It's been more spread out. So you don't have that as an excuse. And think about it. What did you do? You went 4-1-0 on that five-game road trip. You were looking good. Mm-hmm. And you come home.
But the common denominator on that road trip, Dave, to your point, was effort. This Winnipeg Jets team is talented. Yep. They have the talent. Mm-hmm. They're not a team that is bereft of talent that can only rely on hard work in order to get a win. The Jets, if they're working hard, you combine hard work with the talent that they have, they should be able to win the games. The problem right now is that the effort just isn't there. The execution isn't there. And
like you said it best. Game, it's they're just not playing five man hockey right now.
Usually when there's some games where the execution just isn't there. And you can tell almost from the start of those games where the execution isn't there, where the passes are in the skates and there's just no flow to the game. And those games happen because they're human. Mm-hmm. But six games in a row, they shouldn't happen. Six games in a row where it doesn't look like they're skating. Six games in a row where there doesn't look like there's any plan, where there's any strategy involved to their execution, it is remarkably troubling. And that's where the leadership needs to figure it out. That's where the leadership needs to figure out how to get them through that, to what's going to take. They were up 3-1 and 2-0 tonight, despite not playing that well. And when you can win a game, despite not playing that well, that makes them feel a lot better. That makes them feel like they're through this. Well, when you don't play that well and you lose to a Montreal Canadiens team that is injury riddled, far more than you are, and Montreal wants it more than you do, because that's what screams about it. That's what effort screams about. When it's effort based and your effort's not there, that's where the disaster really manifests itself.
Yeah, and again, I think what it comes down to is, so what do you do if you're the head coach? If you're the head coach of this Winnipeg Jets team, and you're looking at this team and you're thinking to yourself, we can't try the same thing again. If the Jets, let's go on the premise that Adam Lowry is not playing. What would you put the odds? Let's just hypothetically speaking here. Adam Lowry is not available to play on Monday against the Ottawa Senators. What changes would you, as Paul Maurice, put your Paul Maurice hat on? Mm-hmm. Are you making, would you anticipate him doing to change things up, to kind of get this team going again, to really, I mean, again, turn it on its head? Because at the same time, what else are you doing? Like, what are you trying to protect? Like, again, we're going to play the Paul Maurice video soon, but like, what am I missing here that he's clinging to? Because he seems to be like saying, well, we're, and again, don't get me wrong, people. And we'll play the Paul Maurice audio in a few, like video post game in a bit. He's not going to say to the media, yeah, you know what? It's in the bag. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. We're screwed. This team stinks. And you know, the effort's there. He's too advanced to coach. Like they said on the broadcast, 1,650 NHL games. Now that doesn't get him a pass for me, but he knows what to say in a post game interview.
And he knows how to not pour fuel on a fire. Exactly, so if you're asking me what do you do to get this Jets team going? Yeah. Well, I mean, there's first of all, you put Josh Morrissey with Dylan DeMello.
Yep.
So you make that move on the back end because Dylan DeMello, I don't understand why he's been wasted on the third pairing for the vast majority of the season. Next, you bring in Ville Heinola into your lineup. I mean, that's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. And you know, pair him up with Neil Pionk. You know, Derek Forbort needs a night off. You can't fault Derek Forbort. He's given you more than you could have ever imagined from him this year. But he looks like a player who's absolutely got nothing left in the tank. And so you give him a night off, or you give him two nights off. And I don't think Derek Forbort's not going to be in the lineup come playoff time, because he deserves to be in the lineup come playoff time. Mm-hmm. But give him some nights off. Then you go with a third pairing of, you know, if you want Jordy Benn in the lineup, that's fine. You put him on his right side and you play Logan Stanley there. And Logan Stanley, you know, has been better than anyone expected this year. And he's given you a physical edge that's been absent from basically everybody else, a little bit of an intimidation factor. And Jordy Ben's been around the NHL for long enough that he should know how to play with a young player like Logan Stanley. Are you telling me this Jets team without Forsberg in the lineup and without Tucker Poolman in the lineup is all of a sudden worse off than they currently are in the midst of a 6-game losing streak? You can't tell me that. It's not possible that you would believe that.
Nope.
And so that's what I do with the D group. With the forward group, you keep, Harkins, Thompson, and Lewis together if you want. That's fine. If Adam Lowry's coming back, I guess, I think Harkins deserves to still be in the lineup. I'm fine if you take Thompson out and you go up the middle with Scheifele, Stastny, Dubois, and Lowry in whatever order. I'm not saying it has to be that Lowry's your fourth line centerman. I'm not saying that, but Nate Thompson has not had any impact to speak of as of late. That's not a real insult to Nate Thompson. He's been great this year too for what the Jets expected out of him. Right. So you go Harkins, Lowry, and Trevor Lewis as your fourth line, whatever it might be. And then you go, I'd reunite Scheifele, Connor, and Wheeler because, Scheifele has been, Scheifele with Kopp and Appleton hasn't worked. No question about that.
No, that's been terrible.
That's been awful. I mean, the numbers bear it out, and any which numbers you want to look at, the numbers are terrible. So reunite the top line and see if that gets Kyle Connor going as well. Put Dubois, play him with some, play him with some skilled players. Play him with, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. If you want Dubois with, Appleton and Veselainen or whatever it might be. I mean, you guys know the players that are involved here, but you just can't make one change. You can't make two changes and think, okay, my work here is done. Everything's going to be great. And look, the panacea is here and success is right around the corner. That's just not the way it works. Right now, given where the Winnipeg Jets are, it needs to be a little bit of a full injection of different roster, of a different roster and different alignment of the roster for this team. I mean, they talked about in the post game, and I know we're going to play Paul Maurice momentarily. Mm-hmm. They talked about in the post game about, there's no panic in this room. And I know you're not going to publicly come out and say we're panicking.
Right.
There better damn be some desperation. There better be some desperation, not panic necessarily, but the difference between panic, and desperation isn't a big difference. What's the best motivator in life? Fear of losing your job, fear of not being a playoff team, fear of your season ending too soon. There needs to be an element of fear in the Winnipeg Jets game to get them back to where they were. Because right now, there's no fear. They're just going through these motions, and no wonder they've lost 6 games in a row because the other teams are playing better hockey, playing more desperately, playing more passionately. The Jets are absolutely just laissez-faire with their effort as of late.
Look, first of all, before I'll even go on, I'm going to tell people, come on, folks, smash that like button. What are you doing here? You're here with us. It's not even that late on a Friday night. I keep forgetting it was an early start because we've been doing these 8 o'clock games. So usually we've been doing this, 11, 12, which for me isn't that big a deal. But guys, it's not even early. It's not even cocktail hour yet. So let's smash that like button, get that going. Drew and I are just warming up our pipes. We're getting things going for 12 hours from now. But look, Drew, there's no question about it. And again, I don't think anybody, I think what Paul Maurice did when he sat Mark Scheifele, though, is he showed, listen, guys, like you all have to be accountable. And accountability to me, I think the word you used was effort. I think that's I feel like I'm harping on that a little bit, but it's hard, right? Like I said, I'm watching the Moose games, pretty much like one of only like a handful of people in the city who are watching this team live.
Yeah.
Every single game here in Winnipeg, 17 straight during this homestand. And again, I guess part of the problem is I just see guys killing themselves for nothing. Again, like I said, like they're hockey players. I get it. They are passionate about, success and keeping their job. But like, I even say to Pascal Vincent, when we're doing media, I say like, is it hard? Is it to keep these guys? And he goes, Dave, they're hockey players. It's in their DNA. Well, these guys are hockey players at the highest level. And right now I'm not seeing that effort in their DNA. And that to me is the is the killer. And to be honest with you, I don't care if you make the league minimum of, you know, what is it? What is it? 775 or whatever.
25, whatever. Who whatever, knows when it's whatever. Prorated if you're, escrowed and right. everything else this year, who knows?
Right. But there's guys who are making, like I said, you know, 20%, like a 20%, a lot less than you. And the truth is they're killing themselves. And so to me, there's no excuse. Again, if you lose, but you put in that effort, you know, I mean, nobody's going to pat you on your head and say, well, that was really good, but at least people will see it. You know, like when you lose players like Adam Lowry, Nikolai Ehlers, you're not replacing them. Like nobody, like, again, I would have thought David Gustafson would have been a good opportunity for him. Cause I think he is a guy who's going to fit that Adam Lowry mold. He's big, he's aggressive, he can do that sort of thing. But at the same time, you're not going to replace Adam Lowry. You're certainly not going to replace Nikolai Ehlers, with all due respect to Dominic Toninato, CJ Cease, Jansen Harkins,
Christian Vesalainen.
Nobody's going to do that. But I don't really care, because that point is what? It's effort. Is the team producing the effort that they need in order to put you into a position of having some level of success? And the reality is right now they're not. So again, it becomes a function of what are you going to do to change this? And I look, Richard Medeiros is saying that David Gustafson is better than Nate Thompson. Again, I'm a huge
His ceiling is a lot better.
Well, lot for higher. Sure. And again, like I said, you know, there's always going to be the veteran bias. There's no question about that with this coach. Guys, you can pretend like it isn't, but it's going to be there. That's just the reality. But the truth is that I don't really care, because you could have an opportunity to get him in, the, especially when you're in the midst of it. I know you want to pull yourself out of it, but when you're in the midst of it, like, why not give these guys that opportunity? Because to me, that's what you're waiting for, is to see these guys really get in there and kind of put in that effort that is going to get you to that next level. And so I think those like a Villanueva just waiting for his chance. You know, Logan Stanley, his last few games weren't ideal, but at least, you know, it's something different, because right now it's just, like I said, what are we watching over and over and over again? It's the same thing. So I just think like it's one of those situations where you want to kind of get this, you got to stop the ball rolling down the hill, because right now it's becoming an avalanche.
Friday night. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Manouk is with me as well. You're listening to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Reminder, we go live after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. We're going to go live again in about a little over 11 hours with the Illegal Curve hockey show, 9 a.m. tomorrow. Mr. Ginsburg should be back joining us. We'll see if he's clean-shaven or if he's still bearded. You can tune in for that, obviously, breaking news, because that's number one priority for most people. We're going to talk, of course, more about the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow morning. Our guests, our good friend Paul Edmonds, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets radio broadcast, is going to join us. We'll be joined by Daniel Fink, Manitoba Moose broadcaster, to talk about the Moose and what was that epic 17-game homestand. So we will talk about that with Daniel Fink tomorrow, and our good friend Stephen Wino from the Associated Press is going to join us as well tomorrow morning starting at 9 o'clock. Before we wrap it up for tonight, we're going to hear from the Winnipeg Jets head coach. Give me one moment to get him queued up. We're going to bring in Jets head coach Paul Maurice.
Well, you know what, while you're doing that, Drew, then... While you're doing that, what does that mean? Yeah. It means we have some time here, folks. Smash that like button. Just do it. Make yourself feel good. Make us feel good. You know, we're here with you on a Friday night. I probably know where we'd rather be. Maybe joined by Ezzy. That would be, add that a little more fun to it. But smash that like button before we bring in Paul Maurice, and you know, then we'll send you guys off to Kenny and Rennie. Although it doesn't look like Rennie's there. I think it's just Kenny.
No Rennie? Where's Kenny? We'll have to find out where Kenny is then before we go.
I think they got Kevin Owens from what I could see. So I don't know if it's as good. It might not be as good as the Drew and Dave experience, but anyways.
Nonetheless,
it's what you're getting.
Here's Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice.
Thanks, Trigger. Evening, Paul. What's going to take to dig yourselves out of this rut, Paul?
Well, when you get into a tough situation like this, and then like there's not a whole lot of things that are easy for you. I mean, I think we touched three of the four, either on her stick, off her stick, and onto theirs. You're battling it. So you've got to put yourself in that mental place that you can have good things happen and not fear the worst when you get out on the ice and you know, be afraid to make the play, to make the mistake. And we had some pucks that I think we had a hard time moving, had a hard time handling. But for the most part, the effort there, they're fighting there, they're trying to do the right things. It's just not rolling for you. So you just got to keep that faith and keep the faith in what you're doing and how hard you're working.
We'll go next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Gregor. And Paul, does that one sting a little bit more than the previous five just because you held two?
Yeah, you get to 3-1 and you're feeling good about your game. And normally there's enough positive feeling on the bench that one bad thing goes on you, you'll be able to hold on. So even coming out into the third, you know, at 3, you're not dejected by it. They're going a little better. That's a tougher one for sure.
We'll go next to Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Hi, Paul. After Wednesday's game, it seemed that there were some process things to point out to and like, and maybe you were leaning on that as a positive to build from. Do you still feel that those things are there, and what will you build from here?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, they're there. I mean, we have a little tougher time on our PK for sure, and that's been tough, and it's been good for us. I think we're going to get a real good PKer back for our next game. Hopefully, that'll shore that area up for us a little bit. I think we'll be able to move some pieces around and get to something that I think we'll have a little more success with.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, not to be overly critical, but if you look at the first goal, it's a routine miss on the boards. The second goal is a lazy change by your forwards that leads to an odd man rush. Your third goal is a whiff puck in front of the net. They almost take the lead with the final seconds on a give up back check from pretty much your entire team. And then the third period happens. So where is the progress?
Well, Jeff, we missed the puck on the first one. You're right. The second one wasn't a lazy change. It was a late change. The third goal is a power play goal. And I'm not too worried about where we are. I wouldn't panic yet.
We'll go next to Guillaume Lefrancois from La Presse. Go ahead, Guillaume.
Hi, Paul. It seems like a couple of the Montreal goals were on sort of weird bounces. Is that how you see them as well as a coach, or do you still see areas in those goals where there's things you could have done better as a team?
We made a tough change. I think, like I said, I think we touched or were close to touching three of them. That they're on our stick and off our stick. You know, the first one's picking one up off the boards, real good player that's done it a million times, and it's just we couldn't get a handle on it. So I think we're tight right now. I think we're fighting the puck right now, as you do when you get into these situations. And we've got to get a good feeling going to get ourselves some confidence back to make those simpler plays happen for us.
Just a couple more for Coach. We'll go back to Scott Billick. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Gregor. Paul, given the timing of the losing streak and just some of the play that's happened during it, you say not to panic yet, but fans are, I'm sure you can understand. I mean, when should they panic then, if not now?
We got a good team here, and we're going through a real struggle, so you can panic at your own time, but we won't here.
Final question to Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Paul, how do you find that exhale when it comes to the offense and generating that confidence that you had for such a strong, portion of this season?
It's an excellent question, right? So as I said before, you've got to get something to go for you a little bit and relax. And sometimes it's a bit of a break, a little bit of a mental break, and come back and start fresh. So obviously there's no easy answers. Confidence is such a difficult thing to define. It's such a hard thing to capture. And at 3-1, it's starting to blossom a little bit for us. And we shot ourselves in the foot on that goal, and it got away from us.
There he goes, Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice addressing the media earlier tonight after the Jets' defeat at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens. 3-1 lead, a 2-0 lead, turns all for naught. A 5-3 defeat, 6 straight losses for the Winnipeg Jets. Dave, we got to be back here in 11 hours and 10 minutes. So a final thought from you as we wrap it up tonight and send everyone over to our buddies, Kenny and Rennie.
Well, if you want to talk about the Moose, I'm happy to do that because you know they're on an 8-game point streak. So I'm more than pleased to talk about the Moose if anybody wants to talk about them. We're gonna have Dan Fink on tomorrow's show. So Daniel is on at 11. Last 20 minutes, half an hour of the show will be focused all on the Jets Farm Club. I'm not saying that you have to stop paying attention to the Winnipeg Jets, but if folks want to feel some positivity right now, you know, there's a lot to like down on the farm with the players down there. Johnny Kovacevic, you know, an 8-game points. I think he's got 8-game point streak right now. He's a right shot defenseman. He's a guy who people should be paying attention to. Big boy, can skate, really coming into his own. Played 38 minutes for the Moose one day when they were down to 5 defensemen, one of whom was a forward playing in his second AHL game, converted into playing a defenseman. So Johnny Kovacevic is a name you want to pay attention to. Dylan Sandberg, another guy, you know, who's continuing to progress and look good for the Manitoba Moose. Obviously, you've got Ville Heinola, who is now back up with the Jets. But, you know, there's a lot of guys. Declan Chisholm. Some of these guys are projects. Like I said, Kovacevic. Save it
for tomorrow, Chisholm.
All right, fine. Fair enough. I'll save it for tomorrow. But the point is, the arena look behind you looks so... Well, at least I'm not wearing a mask. I don't want to piss anybody off. So don't worry. I'm in a house. I don't have to wear a mask. But yeah. Anyways, lots to like about the Moose. We'll be talking about them tomorrow, as well as that other team from Winnipeg, the Winnipeg Jets. So
the team that's struggling.
We'll be focused on both. We don't just focus on the winners here at the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
No, one team's struggling, one team's succeeding. The Jets are the struggling team. The Moose are the succeeding team. On that note, it will be back 9:00 tomorrow morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. A reminder, of course, Monday night, the post-game show, right around that same 8:30 or so time after the Jets and the Senators, the Jets looking to end the 6-game losing streak before it becomes Lucky Sevens. Remind everybody, if you want to keep the post-game talk going, Kenny and Rennie, they're up. They've been on for about probably 20 minutes or so now. Head over to their YouTube channel. They got some good stuff going on. For Dave Minuk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Until tomorrow at 9:00, we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.